This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
I think you can make a real argument that hockey is one of the best, if not the best, spectator sports on planet Earth. It's so fast and powerful and graceful. It's got historic franchises and incredible fan bases. The games are intense, and they have the best league logo. Yeah, I said it, NFL Shield. I love the NHL's logo. But I genuinely know nothing about hockey. Nothing. It's like talking to me about Love is Blind. I know that's a big, huge thing that people care about and watch. I don't know anything about it. Is Love is Blind a reality dating show about blind people? It could be. It seems like it could be. Doesn't seem like it's out of the realm of possibility. Is only one of the people in that couple blind? Is it like this guy can see and this person's blind and they don't know? And it's like, do you like this person? I don't know. Is Love is Blind the American Bridgerton? It could be. Is it a scripted drama, love, romance thing? Is Bridgerton the American Bridgerton? I don't know, because I've also never seen Bridgerton. The point is, I know nothing about hockey, but today on First Ballot, we're talking the Bruins and the Panthers Game 7 from this past Sunday, April 30th, 2023, an emergency podcast, the first of its kind. I don't know what happened in the game. I don't know anything about the sport in general. So why are we talking about this moment? Because on this podcast, the moment picks our show, not the other way around. This moment, this Game 7 is so good, as I'm told, that we must simply give it an episode. So let's do it. This is First Ballot. Welcome back to First Ballot, the podcast that celebrates the moments in sports that really matter and inducts them into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. I'm your host, Neil, the podcast Jordan Clarkson, the poor man's Kurt Rambis, coming to you live from the Shaq O'Neal, big and tall executive suite desk chair, Office Depot. Did I say that? It's really nice. Today's episode is going to be a little bit different, people. Because good old long shot Nick Bernstein is back. Nick Bernstein, CBS Senior Vice President of Late Night Programming West Coast, an official college basketball fan of the First Ballot podcast universe, is back. And once again, trying the unthinkable. His first appearance, Nick got the great Rich Strike racehorse into the First Ballot Hall of Fame. Second time, tried and failed at getting the Syracuse-UConn 6 overtime game in. Today, we're talking hockey. Is that right, Nick?
I actually was coming on because I'm still so mad that she didn't induct the 6 overtime game into the Hall of Fame. But yes, on the week of the Kentucky Derby of all times, we're talking about hockey.
Wait, is the Derby this weekend?
It's on Saturday, yeah.
Oh, I had no idea. Look at that.
Thanks. Thanks for following.
No. I really care and I'm going to watch. I do like, I like horse racing.
Now? Professional like podcaster Neil.
I like horse racing. I do. I just forget when the thing is on. I just know because, you know, it'll be like Saturday afternoon and you're like, that's, you right, know, you get a lemonade.
It's so hard to remember the first Saturday in May, which is how they've been promoting it for like 150 years.
Well, whatever. Listen, I never said I was a horse racing expert. Hockey. We're doing hockey. Please explain to everybody how this episode came together. I get a late night text, a hurried late night text from you last night. Please explain.
So now this is your fault, by the way. All the time I'm watching things thinking, is this one of the great moments? Is See? This a great moment worth talking about? And so I, as I was just thinking about this game that just happened on a Sunday that now it feels like multiple historic things happened in the same day.
Very much
we
so.
We saw the first 50-point performance in the Game 7 in basketball.
Yep.
That was cool. And then the team with the best record ever in hockey, which, as we all know, is both of our favorite sport. You've said it so many times over the years, how much you love hockey. Somehow found itself in a Game 7, and I was like, well, we've got to talk about this, because I think this this has got all of the elements of everything we both like about all of the inductees, or even potential inductees, into the first ballot Hall of Fame.
Okay, so to be a quick follow-up question, then I want to clarify something on my end. The follow-up question is, did you watch this Game 7 on television live?
I did, yes.
You did? Okay, yes. Did you know going into it that you were like, I have to watch this thing?
I knew that it was on. I knew that it was happening that day.
What made you watch? I know you. You're not like a giant hockey guy. So what made you turn it on?
Historical precedent.
Where did you hear about that?
Well, look, just because I don't. I mean, I think it's like you, and like anything that is a major sporting event in right. general.
Got it.
When we're watching, reading, whatever sites, you know things are happening. And so I knew that it was happening. I think, honestly, sometimes on Sundays, when you're in the midst of sporting event after sporting event, and there's something else on, especially during this time of year in the playoffs, sometimes it's like, well, let's keep it going. What else is there? What else can we root for, watch? That's how it sort of came into my wheelhouse.
The thing I want to clarify is Nick said, do you want to talk about this? I really appreciate Nick as both a friend and a mentor, and then as a listener of this show, a loyal, devoted listener of this show. And then probably the most I appreciate you as a sucker that will come onto the show when I ask you. So I immediately agreed. And then the other thing is I appreciate, I don't know that this was ever Nick's intention. I think he's just picking moments that he loves. And then I think of them all as long shots, but I appreciate the long shot aspect of this. You go, can we talk about this hockey thing? And I go, this has got to be an interesting moment because Nick's even just bringing it up to me. And I know nothing about hockey. So I texted Nick back. I'm like, should I watch things? Should I prep for this? Like, how far should I go? And he's like, I'd watch a couple links and maybe read an article. I've done none of that. Wow. I'm coming into this cold. I know nothing. I've got a bunch of links open. At some point, I'm going to watch the highlights, and then we'll pull up that time, Robbie, and we'll act like, you know what I mean? We'll just hop right into it. But I'm coming into this cold. I know nothing about this. I did know because I saw an opening of a link on a page here on a web page on a tab. You know what I'm saying? As I open a thing here to be able to reference it once we're talking, I did see that the Bruins had the best record of all time.
Yeah, season. I only see That's a newspaper in front of you. I see like a – I thought that was kind of weird, but if you say you have a computer.
I promise.
So here's why I'm bringing this to you
okay.
in the first place at all.
Okay.
I also – don't know much about hockey.
Okay.
I really don't. I grew up in Maryland. I liked the Washington Capitals. They were for a very long time one of the most like woebegone or woebegotten, whatever that word is, teams in sports. They just never won. They barely got into the playoffs. If they did, they always like somehow lost early for no reason to a team. So it was just like it was the Charlie Brown type of team for a really long time.
Right.
But the game, and my first experience with hockey, I was 5 years old. Someone scored a goal. The crowd went wild. I immediately started crying and went, I wanted to go home. That is my relationship to hockey. But My favorite thing is when a sport does something that usurps whether or not you like it, whether you are passionate about that sport, and you recognize you're watching something that feels like a moment that's important, that has stakes, that has history.
Yep.
And it's like, well, let's talk about it and try to discern whether or not it has all those things beyond just a relatively vested interest.
I think there's a good, for me, and just hearing you describe this and set this up, there's a good analog for me, or a good comparison. I don't know if the analog is the right word there. It's a good comparison. To me, it's that World Cup final. I just did it with Isaac Lee.
I know nothing
about soccer. Yeah. I will say I enjoy soccer. It's not that I don't enjoy hockey, but I really like going to hockey live. But the times I've sat and watched a full hockey game on television, I don't know if I've ever done it.
I don't know
if I've ever watched a full hockey game. Anyway, point is, I don't know anything about soccer. I hear that it's Messi and maybe he's the best and he's going to, you know, this is his last shot because he's never won it before. And then it's France and then Mbappe, and I love the name. And there was just enough there to make me go, I have to check this out. I have to watch this. I knew nothing about the Boston Bruins. I literally had not heard anything about them all season long. So you go, I watched that 50-point Steph game 7. I go, God damn. And then I was like, I need to fucking, you know, relax after that. I was not thinking about, I'm going to go watch hockey. I knew nothing about it.
Can I tell you something I'm just realizing right now about the Isaac Lee episode? I stopped it with 4 minutes left, so I'm not sure whether you inducted that moment into your I forgot to finish it.
I will say, I'm going to ruin it for you. Okay. No, I will say the thing that moment had, and again, you could tell me the greatest hockey player ever that's ever played. You could make up some name and tell me he plays for the Panthers. I literally have no idea. But I will say the idea of maybe this guy is the best player ever in this monstrously huge sport, and he's in this thing and he's playing against this other team. There were huge things in favor of that World Cup final, obviously.
Well, yes. It's hard to make the singular individual comparison between those things. But honestly, my biggest takeaway from that conversation you had with Isaac, considering I haven't finished the episode yet, is that at some point, I'm pretty sure Isaac said something about being embarrassed to tweet about something. And I thought, oh, Neil doesn't know what that's like to be embarrassed. He's never had that experience before.
How dare you? And let's get into the first credential. What do you want? I mean, it's you're presenting this. I don't have any. I should say, for anyone listening who expects to hear Nick's at the table, I can quickly tell you he loves basketball, the Syracuse Orange Man. I believe his favorite athlete of all time is Jerry McNamara because he's white. Is that right?
Wow. First of all, it's just the orange. It's not the Orange Men.
Did they do that for
because they're aware that there's more than just men who play professional sports, unlike some of us on this podcast.
Oh no. Listen, yes. I was born in a certain time. I didn't realize they're the orange. The Syracuse Orange and Jerry McNamara because he's white. So you corrected the orange. You did not correct the white thing, which I get. You, Nick Bernstein, white. CBS isn't on this call.
No.
You can say whatever you want. Go ahead. Let it rip.
My favorite basketball player is Prince, based on an anecdote that Dave Chappelle talked about on
All right. So the floor is yours. Where are we going? You're presenting this thing to me.
So, throughout the last, 20 years, I guess, at this point, we have seen in multiple sports now great teams that ended up with the best records of all time in their sport.
Great. I love this.
Okay.
You're going to go Patriots?
Patriots, yeah.
And the Warriors?
Yes. Boston Bruins just did that. They, in this beautiful game, as I believe they call it, of hockey, no one's ever had more points or more wins in a season than Boston did. So they have just completed the greatest regular season in the history of this game.
That's, It's a good start.
It's unbelievable.
So you said points, and I opened up the box score for analytics in case I needed to add something. Again, I've not done anything.
Okay.
All I know is that I opened up the box score, and it says 4-3 Florida Panthers, Boston Bruins 3.
That's not points. That's not the points.
No. I know. Well, that's what I'm saying. I see 4-3, and I go, that's the final score. And then as I go into the thing, into the box score, it goes, Anton Lundell. First time I've ever heard those words, that name. That means nothing to me, those two names. And with deep respect to Mr. Lundell, who I'm sure is a fantastic hockey player. But I look at his thing, and it goes, 2 assists. And I go, oh, shit, this guy had the 2 assists. The Panthers scored 4. He had half of their assists. And then I look, and Carter Verhaeghe and Alexander Barkov and Sam Bennett and Sergei Bobrovsky and Etu Lusternen.
I'm going to stop you. I'm going to stop you right here.
All have assists.
I am also hearing these names for the first time.
I'm nailing the pronunciation. All those dudes have assists. And then there's another column for points. And I'm like, wait, what are points?
I don't care. the points I'm talking about are not individual points. The points I'm talking about is when which you've seen this before. You get X amount of points for a win, X amount of points for an overtime, whatever, as a team.
So the total number
of points that you get,
right?
That's the type of points. That's the sum total regular season points for the team. So that's
what I was just going to clarify is like, I think about Gretzky and Lemieux and they won like, you know, some MVP trophy because they had the most points in a season. But I guess I didn't know that hockey teams also score points in addition to just whatever their record is.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just like the soccer podcast you just did, the way hockey is treated with wins, losses, overtime loss, or they used to have ties like that. That's the point system. So over the course of this 100-something years worth of games played in teams, no team's ever had more points or more wins. So even if you don't understand the point system,
right,
no one's won more games than the Boston Bruins.
Got it.
This is the
73 win Warriors. That's the way for me to think of this. Okay.
Same thing. Yes. 73 win Warriors. So their first round opponent is, you know, unfortunately, the Florida Panthers, who I'm pretty sure, if not the very last team to make it into the playoffs, they're one of the last two teams to make it in. They're a wild card team. Doesn't even matter. Like, they barely got in there. They've won something like 25 less games in the season than Boston has.
Damn, 25.
Yeah, it's something ridiculous. Like, it is a ridiculous discrepancy between these two teams.
Have the Florida Panthers ever won this? No, they've never won the Stanley Cup. I feel like I'd know that.
I'm pretty sure they have won it.
Okay, really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've won it multiple times, actually. I'm pretty sure. Listen, I just found out yesterday who won the 2022 Stanley Cup.
No, the Florida Panthers have never. I just Googled it. I'm sorry. You were saying something. They have never won the Stanley Cup.
Are you sure?
I just Googled Florida Panthers Stanley Cup wins.
Oh, you know what? Maybe it was Tampa Bay.
Yeah, the Lightning I know have.
I think Florida's been there at least. I think they've been in the mix.
Team has made one appearance in the Stanley Cup Finals in 1996, eventually losing in the finals to the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, I remember that one. I don't.
I was going to say, there's no fucking way that's true. Good line read, though. Okay, so, I mean, I think that matters here. You've got the 73-win Warriors. I hate that matters. I feel dumb. I wrote down a note as you were saying it. It makes me feel dumb that matters. Like, you go, it's the 73 Warriors, and I go, ah, great. This is a great way to start because it lets me go, imagine Steph and Clay and Draymond, and they win 73, and then they lose in round one. It starts to contextualize it for me because I'm like you go, best record ever, and I go, well, who really cares? You go, wait, 73 win Warriors, and I go, got it.
Yeah.
I got it now. And they got beat in the first round by a team that's never won anything, seemingly. Yeah. They've, you know, they've accomplished nothing. They're like the Kings.
So then this series starts and things, you know, I casually watch. I every morning, right. I'm like, what happened last night? I'll say, oh, this team won, this team won. You know, hockey does have its fair share of upsets. And there's a certain amount of, like, I don't know if home ice matters.
Right.
But a couple days into the series, Boston is up 3-1.
Right.
So they've completed four. And they go back.
Boston was up 3-1.
Boston was up 3-1. So then you're thinking, historic team, elite team, doing what they're doing, taking care of business. Couple days later, they lose game five at home. They have to go back to Florida. They lose game six. It's 3-3. We cut to Sunday, April 30th. And these two teams inexplicably are playing to see who gets out of the first round.
Right. In Boston.
In Boston. You can also, just a little bit for context, because this has happened before. Some teams are up 3-1 and you get tied 3-3. And then ultimately that game seven, best team wins.
Right.
The best team wins.
Almost always.
In most of these instances, you look at these, like, you look at runs. Boston, with this unbelievable record this year, never lost 3 games in a row.
Oh my God.
So then let's just jump into this game a little bit, right?
Hold on quickly. Before we jump into the game. When the Red Sox beat the Yankees in 04.
Yeah.
The Yankees were up 3-1?
They were up 3-0, weren't they? Didn't
3-0.
That was the historic, like, crazy historical.
That's the craziest one. Okay, so it's a tick off of that, but still, it's a coming tick back from down 3-1 is super impressive.
From a comeback standpoint, I don't know. No, like, that's unbelievable. The 3-0. But you're talking about two teams out of, at that point, what, 4, 6? Mm-hmm. I don't know if they had a wild card in 04 in that way. But there were only four teams that made the playoffs. So everybody's good.
When Dikembe Mutombo and the Nuggets beat the
Seattle,
Sox,
right?
How did that series set up? Do you remember?
That was a best of five. Right.
Oh, right. Five. Yeah. I'm looking for that's exactly, I mean, you're right. It was a five. And that's what I'm doing. I'm like trying to think of a 3-1, 1-8 seed upset where the one seed loses on at home in game seven.
Yeah.
Is there a exact comparison to that?
I did no research for this. I have no idea. I was so excited about it because I don't remember anything like this. Maybe it's happened. I don't know where. It's not. It's not like a one game weird one game situation. It's let's just set up game seven for a second.
Yeah.
Also, I think we can say, real hard if you don't live in Boston to root for any of these Boston teams.
Oh, I appreciate you saying that. I completely agree. And again, I appreciate you saying that.
This is the totality of not just how often they've won recently.
Right.
And how good, but how much that fandom rubs it in and is so proud. It's a little much.
It's much. It's a little way much. Too much.
So this Boston arena is rocking. Fleet Center? I don't even know. I think it's the Fleet Center. Is that still what it's called? I don't know what it's called.
It doesn't matter what it's called. All these people need to know is that Nick says it was rocking.
That's what that's.
if you can't believe Nick Bernstein in a case like this, when can you believe him? The place was rocking.
Just picture in your head, rocking. That's what game seven was like.
Got it.
And then, so all of these fans who've been, I'm sure, sweating it out and nervous, they're there. They assume they're going to watch, all right, this little blip as we march our way to the Stanley Cup trophy, as you know, the greatest trophy in all of sports.
The greatest. Nothing's even in the same universe. It's far and away.
I've gone to the Hockey Hall of Fame, like stood next to it. It is every bit as marvelous as it looks on television.
Bet. I fucking bet.
So I don't watch the whole game. Let me just say this.
you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job presenting this so far.
I'm not watching this whole game. When I tune in, in the second period,
you missed the entire first period.
Yeah. Listen, I don't have time. I don't have time for this. That's not the most important part of the game here. Let's cut to it. Nobody wants – listen, they want to hear us. They want to hear us debate this back and forth. They don't need all the details.
Got it.
When I tune in, it's 2-1 Florida. They're up 2-1. It's in the second period. They seem to be dominating the boards. I'm pretty sure that's a thing. the puck, which I have to admit, I find very hard to watch and follow on television. I miss the days where there was
the blue highlight.
Yes. On Fox, where you could really tell where it was going.
Yeah, I get it.
High def was supposed to make it easier to watch hockey on television. I'm not sure that happened. However, all the action seems to be pushed towards Boston's really tight. Florida is pressing and they're aggressive and they're loose and they've got nothing to lose. But it's still 2-1.
Right.
I'm doing laundry. I leave for a second, switch out the load, move things from the washing to the drying. All of a sudden, Boston scores 2 goals in 3 minutes.
Wow.
In the third period. We're in the third period now. So within the first, 3 minutes of the third period, they tie it up, and then they take the lead.
And how – that's amazing. And how early in the third period does that happen?
Where it's literally the first 5 minutes of the third period.
Wow.
So they score both of these goals. And now it's 3-2. There's 15 minutes left in the game.
How long are periods?
They're 20 minutes each.
Is that – are you being serious?
Yeah, it's a 60-minute game. This is why you look at me and you ask me if I've watched the whole game. Of course not. It's a really long game. It's too long.
As Nick describes like having too much to do and changing out the laundry, I'm not as old as Nick, and I need you all to know that. I genuinely had no idea that the
I did laundry
periods were periods are 20 minutes. I had no clue. That seems like a long time.
Yeah, these guys must be exhausted.
They really must be. It's a very fast game. They must be really gassed by the end of that. Anyways, okay. So
don't forget all the line changes that happen during a game.
I know, but still, it seems like those dudes are going pretty hard. Core. I mean, just the mental side of it, where it's like, if you're in soccer and like, obviously there's a huge mental part of soccer and you're like going, am I in the right position? Am I going to score this goal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But in hockey, you're like, is somebody going to clean my clock? Is someone's, skate going to slice across my neck and that's all, folks? You're getting slammed into boards. They can like fight and everything's fine. Like you can just start fighting someone in hockey and it's like basically fine, which I don't understand. I mean, I appreciate it, but I don't understand it. But if that happens, it just seems like you're going through a lot as a hockey player. So it seems like exhausting.
Well, think about it this way. Do you know, let me ask you something. Do you know how a line change happens?
No, I know that a dude races over the boards and starts going and the other guy races over and goes, I got to get out of here. That's all I know.
No, I was asking you. I don't know either.
I think the coach is like, Fedorov, get in there. And then he like throws his legs over the board. He doesn't even like walk down to the door. He just throws his legs over the board and he just starts going. And then they're like, Iserman, get out of there. And then he just skates off. And I guess it's fine where you're like, there's a couple extra guys on the thing at the same time. I presume. I don't know.
Yeah, they're like, Iserman, get out of there. You're 65. You're a general manager now. Get off the ice.
You haven't played professional hockey in 25 years.
Okay, so here's the thing. Now I'm watching this game. It's 3-2.
Yeah.
Boston's winning. The crowd's raucous at this point. They've elevated from rockin' to raucous. You think, well, that's it. Florida put up a real nice challenge. Yes.
Right.
At the end of games, which I'm sure you've seen before, now we're down to like under 2 minutes left.
Yes.
Time's passed.
Right.
What happens? What happens?
They pull the goalie.
They pull the goalie.
Which is so, hold on. Let's talk about this for a second. Yes. Because I love this. Like, to me, that's like the ultimate sign of like, I have to do whatever I have to do to win this game. I've long harangued about this. I don't understand why the NBA has lost full court heaves, half court heaves, right at the buzzer. I'm up 8. Maybe I can hit this 3 and go up 11 and push the double digits right before halftime. I'm going to give it a shot. People go, no, I want to save my field goal percentage. I'm not going to do this. And I don't understand that, because as a winner, I go, I need to make this. I need to get this lead as large as it can possibly be. And to me, pulling your goalie and saying, forget it. Who cares if they score another thing? We need to put another guy on the ice who can maybe score us a goal and get this tie. I love pulling the goalie.
I love it too. But you know what happens most of the time. The majority of the time, it's an empty netter or nothing.
Right.
It's keep away, get it out there, put it in. Somehow.
Wait. When do they pull the goalie? How much time left? Did you say 2 minutes?
There's like a minute 40 left.
Okay.
That seems
low to me, considering this is the end of your season.
Well, that's the thing, right? Like you're someone's making that call. When do we do it? When do we do it? I think also, and again, in my hockey expertise, what I think is happening, Florida's on offense. They've got the puck is on their towards Boston's goal, right?
We don't even know the verbiage. We don't know anything about hockey. This is the worst episode. If anyone listens to this that watches hockey, they're going to be like, what the fuck am I listening to this shit for?
But here's the thing. It's still very exciting. I don't know what's happening. I don't know the verbiage, but I'm super into it. I've stood up. I am a foot away from the television now. Florida's got the puck. They're on offense. They're aggressive. They're trying to get it in there. They pull their goalie. So the sixth man races down.
Okay.
Yzerman jumps over the over the fence and immediately is flying down there. And with under a minute left, they score.
Unbelievable.
They tie the game.
Who scores? It isn't the guy that comes racing in for the goalie, is it?
Well, you know what? That's a great question, and I have no idea, because I can't tell anyone apart. Everyone's wearing a helmet with all already grown beards, very long. Right.
They're from different countries. I don't. Yeah, I get it.
They're going so fast. I can't read the back of jerseys. I don't know.
You're looking for the puck. You're just looking for the puck.
I'm trying to find the puck. Oftentimes what happens for me is I hear the announced and I see the red light going and I see players excited. And then I'm like, yes.
That was cool.
They've scored.
You wait for the replay. That's very funny. And you know, it'd be great. It'd be really helpful for this episode if either one of us could answer that question, but we just simply don't know. And I'm not certain there's a way to find out. So let's just keep it moving.
So they tie it with under a minute left, which I read that's only happened, I think, 6 times in the entire history of NHL playoffs. Something really ridiculous like that, where with under a minute left in Game 7, someone tied the score.
Crazy.
So now that raucous Boston crowd is absolutely silent. The Bruins players, when they finally zoom in on those bearded, beautiful faces, are the colors drained out of them. They are shocked. They were a minute away from moving on to the second round, and now they've got to go to overtime.
Crazy.
And like, there's a little bit of a stop down. They go back to the, you know, the announce group in the studio, and everyone's doing the same thing. I can't believe it.
Yeah. Do you know, by the way, do you know how long intermissions are? I think that's what they call them.
In between, it seems like it's about 10 minutes.
Is there intermission before halftime 10 minutes?
Well, there is no halftime because it's 3 periods. So
what,
in between
wait,
each period.
What did I say? Yeah, I'm sorry. What did I say? Oh, I'm sorry. Is the intermission before overtime? I'm sorry. Is the intermission before overtime also 10 minutes?
I don't know if it was that long, but it didn't feel like it was different than the other.
Okay.
Than the in between other periods. Like they definitely give them a little bit of time to recharge and eat an energy bar or whatever happens. I don't know how, you know, curse in another language, whatever happens.
No, I think you're right. I think it's energy bars.
I'm pretty sure. they subsist on energy bars.
Yeah.
And then they go right back out there.
Yeah, guys, grab an energy bar and get back out there.
You know what? No free advertising. Generic energy bar. Granola, whatever.
This episode could be sponsored by a generic energy bar. Happy to do the ad read for them.
Then a lot of other things happen, I assume. I don't really remember what happens in overtime. I just know that as I'm watching this, and you've seen it in other sports, when a team just gets real tight.
Right.
They just get real tight.
Right.
They've got the weight of the world on their shoulders. They've got the expectation of the being an elite team and having to progress much further than they're about to.
Got it.
And that's happened. We've watched that so often. We just saw it with Milwaukee. In basketball, we've seen it with like any number of Kentucky teams. We saw it with in college basketball this year when, you know, Purdue lost as a one seed. Like it's happened before. But in almost all of those instances, that I just talked about now, described to you, they're not game seven overtime.
Right. Yes.
So that amount, like, I don't know. I don't know, how you handle that. All I know is that Boston handled it poorly because Florida's still playing super loose. This guy Carter scores the game winner on Boston ice, smacks it in there with like 8 minutes left. The place goes crazy. And I'm like, this happened. I can't believe this happened.
And hockey is sudden death, right? Whoever scores first, then it's over.
It is in the playoffs.
Amazing.
And I think, you know what? Sorry. I think it used to be.
There's
definitely a shootout situation.
Just an awful episode. And by the way, the thing that just started making me laugh, that you're like, why is Neil laughing? It's because when you heard Nick's voice drift away from the microphone like this, it's because he was looking to check and see the guy's name that scored the game-winning goal. Because he didn't remember. He doesn't know the guy's name. So as he's looking back at his game, what's this guy's name again?
I only got his first name out. I couldn't read my own handwriting for his surname. You tried it before. I was going to say Vanderway. That's not right.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wrong.
Verhaeghe.
Verhaeghe.
That's what I'm going with.
The great Carter Verhaeghe, who for the rest of his life will be known as the Florida Panther who ended the Boston Bruins' historic season.
What's the celebration like after he scores? It's hockey. They're all on skates.
I was jumping up and down.
No. It doesn't matter what you do.
I said, girls, come out here. Come out here. You'll never forget when the Florida Panthers beat the Boston Bruins in game seven in overtime on TNT.
Look at these guys I've never seen before in my life. No, what are the guys on the team doing? What are the hockey guys doing? Do they
lose their minds? It's a scrum. It's the big scrum. The Bruins players. The thing that I remember is the Bruins players going up to each other and consoling each other.
Oh,
it was like good. A line, you know, like they do the line thing in hockey, and everyone.
Yeah. Like, good game.
Right. But they're almost all, like, it's all the people who were just fighting 3 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Where the refs are just like,
legally
all right,
three more,
you know, another 7 minutes of fighting, and then we'll stop it. and then the Bruins were like, what just happened? And consoling themselves. I know one of the coaches was wearing a yellow tie, which I thought was a little weird, but maybe that was the Boston guy, because I think that's one of their colors.
Right. For sure, one of their colors. What about the aesthetic beauty of the game-winning goal? Was it like a one-timer? Like, I don't, I, I'm not, I think a one-timer is like when they pass it to a guy and then he doesn't even stop the puck. He just, as the thing's moving, he whacks it at the goal. Classic. That's a one-timer.
It was a classic one-timer.
Is it a one-timer?
I don't remember.
Let me watch it. I'm going to watch it very quickly. Yeah. I've got a thing loaded up here. I'm going to watch it live. You're listening. You're watching me watch it. Hold on a second. Okay. I'm going to describe, I'm going to narrate this for you. It looks like there's four Bruins. Okay. This is interesting. There's four Bruins. This is, could mean absolutely nothing. There's four Bruin players black plus the goalie. So there's five Bruins. There's only two Panther guys there. I can't find the puck. I can't find it. It's behind. It seems like it's behind the net. It's behind that. Now it's passed out and a wrister. Oh, okay. So the goal isn't. It just looks like a normal goal. The guy just flings it with his stick and it goes in. I will say the second it goes in, every Panther looks like they got electrocuted.
Yeah.
Immediately, like a
crazy. Whoa. Yeah. That's how I knew they scored.
Yeah.
That's how I knew it.
Oh,
like,
there's
what happened? Where's the puck? Where's the puck? Oh, it's in the net.
There's a nice moment where they are all skating over to the boards to sort of pile onto each other. And there's a nice wide shot of the defeated Bruins are in the foreground. The victorious Panthers are in the background up against the board. And then the backdrop of everything is this sea of black and yellow jerseys. And there's one dude. In a what I presume is a Florida Panthers jersey, jumping up and down in the middle of this black sea. That's good.
That classic orange and black colors that we all know are the Florida Panthers.
I think it's blue and red.
Oh, okay. the thing that stood out, and always on these things, when the Game 7 away team wins on someone else's home court, whether you like it or whoever you were rooting for, if you had no rooting interest, that is the biggest dagger.
Right.
That is just the most ice cold moment.
It must be like just pin drop quiet in there. Oh, like just suffocating for the fans. And that is a lot of fun. There must have been a super pissed off people too.
Oh, all the 18,000 walking back out into the yes. Quincy Market or whatever.
Yeah. Drunk onto Boston dudes.
Just devastated. The bars, can you think of all the bars as people just pouring out of there? No one understands what happens. Like, I'm sure they're still processing now.
Yes.
Because it is so devastating to think this team that was practically perfect and on its way to just crushing, like they were supposed to, the gentleman's sweep of five games, and instead lost three in a row for the first time all season long on their home floor, on their home ice, to a team from Florida that, quite frankly, like, I still can't believe that there are hockey teams in Florida.
It is shocking.
and they're great. Apparently they're great.
The Bruins were, because you just said it, and I immediately looked it up. The Bruins were plus 370 to win the 2023 Stanley Cup. I wonder what the Game 7 odds were.
I bet it was lower at that point, just because
I would have to think so.
I think that going into it also, they were like an 80% of the money was on Boston to win.
Wow.
Not into Game 7, but into the series.
Yeah, money line. The Bruins were minus 225.
Still pretty big.
You gotta bet $225 to win $100. That's how much they thought the fucking Bruins are going to win that Game 7. Crazy. I'm not a gambler, so I'm, you know, just figuring that out. But I do think it's an interesting context to figure out how much were these guys actually favored. It's interesting. I mean, the historic side of it, I just won't understand. Like, I go, in a way, not having a comparison where it would be good in almost every other sport, because I just don't know enough about hockey. I go, wait, I wish I had more to sort of more this to, like, to connect this to, so that my brain could properly sort of categorize this win. It sounds amazing. I'm a little worried about the, is there any attitude to this? Is that, like, if there was a really great clip of some Boston guy going out into the streets, into the fucking Harvard yard or fucking whatever the square is, and the like there's like fucking seafood or clam chowder or some shit that they sell. Yeah. I don't know anything about Boston. If there was like some, and there's some, you know, crazy Boston dude in this thick accent saying the wildest shit, like I want to hear something that's like, this is what's super entertaining, and it's not just purely sports, because if it's purely sports, I would love there to be an athlete that's in the mix here that's like a legend, a real personality. You don't know anything about these dudes, neither do I.
Yeah. Let me stop you there just for a second, because that is exactly the reason I'm bringing this to you.
Okay.
I searched in my head for minutes at least to try to figure out, has this ever happened in any other sport? Can I figure out a way to contextualize this? And then I, for even more time, was like, have I ever watched anything where I wasn't really connected to the players specifically or the game specifically, and got so wrapped up in this idea that something unprecedented was going to happen, and get swept up in this where the stakes were really, really high for this sport. And so the lack of information about the teams or the individuals was usurped by this this heaviness, right, that is weighing in on this game. And I couldn't think of anything like that. And especially early on, because you look at other teams in other places, just think about the ones that we've named already. The undefeated New England Patriots.
Right.
They got to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
So they've done at least their part. It's the stakes might have been raised and higher, but they have gotten to the pinnacle. And now it's whether or not they can complete the task. The Warriors, 73-9. We've mentioned them a bunch of times. Even with whatever hiccups and not looking their best throughout that playoffs, they made it to the finals. They got to the 3-1 with all the players and all the history that we all know and have talked about probably on the show and just in our personal lives. But they made it to that point. They couldn't finish the job.
Right.
I've never seen a team that couldn't get to that. Even those great teams in college. And you, as much as I love college sports, you're talking in a situation where it's a one-time shot. It's a single game situation. Anything can happen.
Right.
And so in a sport where you still have 16 teams that make the playoffs and the best team still gets a chance to play the worst team.
Right.
You try to come up with a situation in baseball, but it's never that many teams that make it in there.
Very good. That's very good. You're right. Because I have been up until this point thinking, comparing it against those 73-win Warriors or those undefeated Patriots. But you're right. They didn't lose in the championship. They lost in the first round against whatever would be the middle of the pack team. I mean, it's the Panthers, that middle of the pack team that's barely making the playoffs in theory, and losing in a devastating game 7 fashion. That's really interesting. I wish I knew more. They were up 3-1. What is the...
I'll tell you something else. Sorry. Yeah. I wish I knew more. Because you're about to ask me a question, I probably won't be able to answer it. But please do.
Of the first four games, which game did the Panthers win? Do you know? Was it 1-1?
I thought they won their first game at home. I thought it was 2-0.
So 2-1. Got it.
But I'd have to look that up because I don't remember.
Right. You're chalking that up to like a wonderment. Like this is wonderful that we don't know these things, and that's still how great this was. And I am sitting on the other side of the fence going, not having answers to all of these questions is a little like, I would love to know that the dude, like, this would really matter to me. If the goalie is racing off the ice, they're like, Patrick Wah, get off the, come on, we're pulling you, goalie. And he goes racing off. And they go, Joe Sakic, run in there and take Patrick Waugh the goalie spot. You are the guy taking the goalie. And he jumps over the thing and he races over and just happens to grab the puck. And right. then he races down and scores that next goal. Like, I go, amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I want to hear that story, but you don't know. I don't know. That's a little, like, did, so I.
Hang on. I want to pause you again.
Yeah.
So you have done both things, in which you have inducted individual players having great right. moments
yes.
in a game
right.
or in a series. Well, I guess in a game, really not in a series. And I agree. Those are times and people that are befitting of being inducted into the first ballot Hall of Fame on the first ballot.
Hold on. I'll go deeper here. You are constantly helping me define this show. When it's a very singular, the word moment for this show, for the first ballot Hall of Fame, sports moment Hall of Fame, is this the best sports moment? That word moment, very malleable. We can bend it into whatever we need it to mean. To me, when it gets down to a very specific moment, the helmet catch, when Tyree pins that ball to his helmet, yep. and you can see it get very close to the turf, and Rodney Harrison's trying to punch it out, and you can go, who is David Tyree and what did he do? And you can think about Eli scrambling and all, and everything becomes the context to that singular moment, that like 4 seconds of time. Because you're so specific and there's so much you can add to it, it's to me, it's got a better chance of making it. When the moment is bigger, longer, a season, a comeback, whatever the case might be, to me, the bar gets higher and higher when you need to get bigger and wider. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I was thinking the same thing, except the greatest episode you've ever done, which I'll never be able to eclipse, when Randy Johnson murdered that bird. That is a moment. That is the definitive moment, singular. Yeah. Wasn't right. even really part of the game. Wasn't even a regular season game. That is a moment.
But it's so specific. It's like it's a singular pitch. It's not even like a game. It's literally one pitch. If that ball's going 95 miles an hour, it's probably happened in a flash. It's the smallest amount of time. This we're going, you're not going the goal, because again, I'm sort of like looking at this going, we don't know who scored it. We don't know how it works. So you're going, well, wait, open up the aperture. Take the context of this team beating that team. They're the greatest team. These guys are middle of the pack. Game 7, they were down 3-1. Like, it's getting to the game or the idea that this team beat the other team. And I'm saying, wider that needs to be, the more I need something, the bar is, to me, is more difficult to get in.
So I think the bar should be difficult to get in. And I'm glad that you're thinking about it as much as you are, instead of trying to figure out how you're going to feed your family. this is the reason why this exists for all of us. I think that when you are determining what sports is worth, period, why do we watch it? Why do we enjoy it? What parts of the game are the things that get us excited, that take us away from the real challenges in our lives, that we can watch these events and even with a tangential at best connection, even with an infinitesimal amount of knowledge about the sport or the teams or the players or how to play the sport at all, that you can still get swept up and swept
right.
away
right.
in these moments and be excited and also devastated and have all those feelings wrapped up in the singular moment of, I can't believe we lost this game. We were down 2-1 and we went up 3-2 and we had a minute left and we let them tie it. Then we still had a chance to make up for that. We still had a chance to continue this historic run that our city needs. The people, the great people of Boston, need us. We can't let them down. And we get to this place where it's not always in our hands. It's not in our control. we can't see the puck. The puck gets in the net. The announcers tell us this is what happened. And then the people watching who have no idea where the puck is get to celebrate and say, I can't believe it. And text our friends who actually know hockey and be like, this is wild. And they'll write back, hockey is unbelievable. And I'll be like, now I get it.
Now I get it. You've done, as usual, you've done a marvelous job. Just a couple things here I want to add to the pile. As Nick is talking, I hit the old Google machine and I'm looking through tweets. I found a tweet said from Bardown, at Bardown, how Bruin fans are feeling this morning. And it is a picture of Adam Sandler from the golf movie. What's the golf movie?
Happy Gilmore.
Happy Gilmore. And Bob Barker's punching him in the stomach. Sandler's in the Bruins jersey. Barker's punching him in the stomach, and somebody photoshopped really well, actually, a Panthers uniform on his bent arm, Bob Barker's bent arm. So it looks like the Panthers punching the Bruins right in the stomach. Good tweet. That's something for the Twitter fingers here. And then voting committee. Mm. As we're talking, I'm DMing Sean Gentile, NHL writer for The Athletic, correspondent on the Puck Soup podcast. He's the only guy I know who knows hockey. I DM him quickly and go, will you record a voting committee for this episode? He sent it in. Let's listen to it together. This is live.
Neil, I'm honored to be asked for my input here. And I got to say, knowing what I know about you, I think the Bruins going down to game 7 definitely belongs in the Hall of Fame. It's a Boston choke job. Everyone likes some bad things happen to that city, people from it, sports teams, whatever. When you throw in the fact that the Bruins absolutely choked on their own vomit for most of that series, 65 wins in the regular season, then to go out like that where they kind of folded, you know, like a tent really at the first sign of trouble against the Panthers, on and on and on. That's a big part of it. The other big factor here is that Matthew Tkachuk is the Panthers' best player.
Knew it.
And the dude has juice. He's a needle mover. He's skilled and dirty and fun and charismatic in a way that you rarely see from hockey players.
That's good.
But I always said
you don't see ever, really, in that cursed fucking sport. So, yeah, lots of reasons to put this one in the Hall of Fame. I think a lot of stuff that he'd appreciate specifically has my vote. I'll tell you that much. Take it easy, dude.
Fantastic. I also want to follow up. Sean Gentile then DM me and said the Bruins had a little bit of a last dance element at play too with Paris Bergeron, who must be a great
Patrick.
It says Patrice.
Okay.
I love you correcting the fucking guy, NHL writer at The Athletic. You mother effer. Can you believe Patrick, like, you know anything about hockey? he must be Patrice Bergeron or Mr. Bergeron, whoever he is. He must be a great hockey player. And I'm assuming that was perhaps his last game. So that's an interesting part.
Well, I did see an article that it was like, there are some like late 30s guys. Cause I think you can play hockey until you're like your age.
For sure.
And
wait a minute.
There are some players that have gotten up there and they have to decide whether or not they're keeping them.
Yeah. Yeah. I also asked him, was it more of a Boston choke job or more of an incredible feat by the Florida Panthers? That's a big question to me. That's my burning question of the day. You clearly have no fucking answer for that question.
I don't know. Oh, God. Sorry.
Sean Gentile's answer, equal parts both. Something to consider as we're debating whether this thing gets in. Obviously his voting committee said, yes, absolutely, I appreciate that. But also the answer, he didn't know why I was asking that question. That's my burning question of the day. Equal parts both. I'm fine with a little bit of good luck or a little bit of bad luck. 50%, something to have to consider here.
Well, I honestly don't know the answer. I don't really know the answer. I will just say, watching it in real time, when you pull the goalie,
right,
when you have that 6-on-5 and you have that advantage, which is, I think, in some ways only a partial advantage.
Right.
Because you're left still so vulnerable. And it's so hard to score in that instance. Mm-hmm. It's like grabbing that, you know, getting a steal instead of fouling somebody with 10 seconds left and still being able to, like, hit a 3 or whatever to get that game tied up. that is where I think it's not just luck. It's not just luck at that point. It is determination and being aggressive and having the right, making the right call.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I would be fascinated to hear a hockey coach. Is that what they call him? Manager? What do they call the guy? The coach? Is that what they call him?
Yeah, it's coach.
Okay. The hockey coach. I would love to hear a hockey coach explain the reasoning behind when you pull your goalie. Like, what's the right time? And it kind of doesn't matter because he did it at the right time because they ended up scoring the goal and going to overtime. So fantastic job, whoever the coach of the Florida Panthers might be. I wanted to add one other thing that I Googled quickly. The 8 seed that beats a 1 seed. And I think this is where the heart of your argument lies. In the NFL, how many teams go to the playoffs in the NFL?
Now?
Yeah.
I think it's 14.
Right. Okay, 14. So it's a little less, but they have like wild card games first, right? Yeah,
That's right.
So the structure is a little bit different. A few less teams, and it's a one and done thing. You win your game, you move on. You lose your game, you're out. There's no series. In baseball, there's a series, but there's way less teams that make the playoffs. At least historically, there have been far fewer teams. I think they're letting in more now. But historically, there's way less teams. In basketball, which seems like the parallel, here are the 8 seeds beating the 1 seeds. The Nuggets over the Supersonics, which you mentioned in 1994. Mm-hmm. Nuggets won 3-2. The Knicks beat Miami in 99. A great Knicks Heat series that we're having another one now. 2007, the Warriors over the Dallas Mavericks 4-2.
That's probably the closest.
Ooh, that's really good. So you're talking. Oh, that's interesting. I wish we knew more about the Panthers. Is there a nickname for the team? Like they called the fucking Bad News Panthers. Like I want to know something else about. Like is there a guy that smokes on the team in the intermissions? Like I wish I knew something about the character because I know Stack and I know Baron Davis and I know. Andrians, Biedrins. I know dudes off of that We Believe Warriors team. You're right. That might be the closest parallel.
Okay, but let's just pretend. Let's take it in reverse.
Yeah.
Let's pretend you didn't know basketball as well as you did.
Right.
And you still are looking at me like, man, that Dallas team that won more than 60 games that year lost to – they had at least 20 more wins than the Warriors.
Right.
But they also lost in 6.
Yes, 6. Yeah, I know.
And they lost at home.
That's right.
On the road, but in Golden State, in Oakland at that point. And so it was like, is this going to happen? And that was exciting. And it was really exciting. But that was not a historically great Dallas team. It was the best Dallas team. It was the best team of that season.
Right. It's a really interesting point. And by the way, I'm seeing here, game 6 was a blowout. The Warriors won a 25-point blowout in that game. So it wasn't even, you know, we're talking game 7 here, and it goes to overtime. Send death
game
overtime.
Game 7 comeback.
Yeah.
It also goes into overtime.
All right. To round out, 2011, the Grizzlies beat the Spurs. In 2012, the Sixers beat the Bulls. All in 6. There's never been in the NBA, there's never been a game 7, 8 seed beats the 1 seed. Maybe this is the first time that's happened in sports. It's really good.
It's fascinating. And the other thing is that like there is so much recency bias right now to this because it just happened days ago. Is very exciting also to think like, I love the idea of an instantaneous, immediate Hall designee.
It's a great idea. It's a great episode. You've acquitted yourself very well in terms of presenting it, despite the fact that you know very little about hockey. That's been laid completely bare.
I can't deny that.
It's time for the cosign. There's a big credential here. Nick, you're up against the wall. Long shot, Nick Bernstein. Does the Panthers, who'd they play? Bruins game 7. From the first round of the 2023 NHL playoffs, does it belong in the first ballot Hall of Fame and why?
I mean, I got so excited at just the thought of bringing this question to you.
Yeah.
Because quite frankly, part of this was, I don't know, but I think I can make a really valid argument as to why it deserves consideration here.
It's been a lot of fun listening to you do it.
And so I don't know if I have that much more because you have literally exhausted every ounce of knowledge I know about hockey in this hour. And I just think that I almost don't know if it matters what happens the rest of the season in hockey, because I'm pretty sure we've just watched the defining moment of this season.
Ooh, that's good. Ooh, that's good. Is this the best moment of the season, no matter what happens here on out? Of course, we can't answer that question.
We don't know.
We don't know. It's time for the induction speech. It's when I, Neil, get to decide on this thing. Listen, this is my Hall of Fame, and I have to treat this thing seriously.
I feel like it's my Hall of Fame a little bit.
No.
I feel like we share this Hall of Fame at this point.
No.
All right. Well,
do not.
This is my heart. I feel like it. But keep going. I'm sorry.
This is a very interesting episode. It's a very interesting moment. I love how you've presented it. I've learned a tiny little bit about hockey. It's been very fun to listen to you talk about this moment. And I honestly wish I could go back and watch that game live and sort of know what I know now. It'd be fun. And I'm a little worried, honestly, if I were to go back and watch it, even having known nothing about hockey up until that point, that I would have enjoyed it much more and it have a legit shot. As it is now, I want to present what we know. These are the 73 win Warriors. It's a great point. A little 73 win Warriors, a little 18-0 Patriots. Down 3-1, it's not exactly Red Sox-Yankees, but certainly down 3-1, that's a big deal when a team comes back. Lose on home ice, game 7, in overtime. Pull the goalie to get to OT. I love that angle of it. The electric reaction, the one fan in the middle of the Boston dudes, Boston drunk guys at night. There's a lot going on here. Again, Sean Gentile, a guy who knows way more about hockey than both of us combined for our entire lives. He says this thing should go in. There is the Boston collapse part of this. I do appreciate it when Boston sports teams collapse, choke on their own vomit. That's fantastic. All positives. I want to add something else. I go to Bill Simmons's Twitter feed. Now, I'm not going to say Bill Simmons is the arbiter of this haul, but I will say if anyone's going to talk about this moment, you'd think it would be someone like Bill Simmons. I go through his Twitter feed, ton of tweets about Steph and his game 7. So I know he's on Twitter. I know he's got his phone in his hand. I know he's watching sports. The next tweet I see that could be in reference to this Boston Bruins game, 9:45 p.m. last night, during when the 76ers beat the Celtics in game 1, Simmons tweets, "This would be the most horrific Boston loss in at least 23 hours." He's clearly referencing that Bruins loss, but that's all he says. I would say that's a major loss for this moment.
I got to jump in on that for one
please,
second.
Please.
When that man who I'd say we both have met but don't know.
Yes.
We're not friends.
Right.
When he is hurt and sore, he does not spend a lot of time
interesting
talking
right
about that.
Right. He's probably putting his thoughts together for some sort of well-written or well-thought-out argument that he's going to present on a show where he gets paid lots of money.
Correct.
And I, what do I do? Half-cocked, completely out of control, phone in my hand, and I tweet until I go to sleep. All right, good point. That's a good point. Okay, we'll strike that from the list. I don't want to put this on you. I think you've done a great job.
Thank you.
I can be a tough customer with you. I know you. I like you. I love having you on the show. You are the official college basketball fan of the First Ballot Podcast Universe. There are answers you don't have, and you don't know them, and I don't know them. It makes me want to put in a vote of no contest. I don't know. I don't know whether this thing goes in. I will say, to me, the final straw as I'm considering this is I did not put in the Giants beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl, in a bigger sport that matters in front of 100 million people. I did not put in the Giants beating the Patriots. I put in the helmet catch. I need something to hang my hat on with this moment because I don't know anything about hockey. I don't have that here. And so I can't put it into the First Bell Hall of Fame.
I would say this, before you decide this.
I've already decided it.
No, I don't think you have yet. I don't think you have yet.
No, Nick, I said the thing. The music's already playing.
I don't hear any music. I would only say this. I think in the spirit of competition and the no contest scenario here.
Yeah.
If you were to say to me, I can't make that decision right now.
Ah.
But I would like to put a pin in this one.
Yes. Okay.
And let's have someone who can actually talk about sport.
That's it.
This sport.
That's it.
Bring them back on and see if they can actually accurately argue in favor.
You're a real gentleman. This is great. That's a great idea. Let's do that. You're a real gentleman. Wait, when do we do that? Maybe this stays in.
Maybe after the Stanley Cup is over. Maybe once the season's
over. That's a good idea. And then we can also go, was that the best moment of this hockey season?
And I would say yes, because I'm not sure I'm going to watch another hockey game this year.
we'll have to get back together. We have to put the band back together. Nick and Neil, the old duo, the old fearsome duo, the old, the old partners in crime, the old, the good old buddies talking hockey once more, but we're going to bring on someone that knows stuff about hockey and he's going to make the appeal. That's a great idea. Let's put a very much a not in the First Ballot Hall of Fame thumbtack into this moment. We'll come back. We'll revisit this. I don't like his chances. We'll revisit it later with someone that knows about hockey, and we'll see if this thing can get in. Nick, thank you so much for coming on the show. This was a great episode. I really enjoyed doing it. This is one of the ones that I really enjoyed because I just didn't know any. Also, I didn't have to do any of the work that I usually do for episodes. That's fantastic.
I did just about as much work as you did.
Also, would you come back? I have this as my last note here written down. Would you come back and help me do an accounting on the show? My editor, Rob Bob, tells me I need to put less things in the hall. He says that matters. Mm. And I can just take out anything whenever I want. Like if I had put something in, I can just take it back out. Who gives a shit? Would you come back on at some point and help me do an accounting of this? And we'll just debate the moments that have gotten in and whether they should be in or whether they should come out.
Yeah, like whether a high school football moment should be in the Hall of Fame. Is that what you're asking? Absolutely.
I want you. I want to be clear about something. I refuse to let you take that out. Just on the sheer principle that you've made an example of that moment in particular. I don't like it. The kid's Filipino. That matters. I know it doesn't matter to you, Mr. Jerry McNamara, but it does to me.
Wow. I think, if this is like a jury thing where you're a lawyer and I'm a lawyer and we get to save one and we have so many.
Oh, that's fun. That's that's fun. We'll have to, we'll dive into that idea.
That's how the law works, right?
Yeah, I think so. It's just like a barter. They can just exchange things. That's a great idea. We'll have to get into those rules. Nick, again, thank you so much for coming on the show. How can people follow you? Nobody's going to follow you.
No, nobody should follow me.
Perfect.
I'm actively asking you, please do not follow me.
Nick Bernstein, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
That's it. That's the show. Our first no contest of the podcast. We're putting a pin in this moment. It's just outside. It's in the parking lot. And we're going to find a guest to come in and give us some real answers to be continued. My thanks, as always, Mr. Nick Bernstein. Support Nick by watching At Midnight on CBS whenever that comes out. CBS, Paramount Plus, At Midnight. Credits. The show is produced by the great Jessica Tseng, edited by the animal, Rob Barbarucci. Rhythm J is on the beats. Follow him on social, at Rhythm J. My shout out today goes to my guy, Mr. Sean Gentile. Thank you so much for coming on with a real hockey take on short notice, too. Thank you so much. I'm sorry that Nick and I dragged your good name into such a hockey knowledge void. I appreciate you, sir. Thank you. Support Sean. Support Nick. Support our show by rating and reviewing it. I'm told it matters for some reason. We're trying to grow this thing on our own. We're an independent show, an independent program, and we need your help. We're all that we got. The show keeps growing. Thanks for listening. Thanks for following our socials, at First Ballot Pod on Twitter, at First Ballot HOF on Instagram, and come back next week for more First Ballot.